The first reading is from Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, regarding Peter and John before the council. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 24. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was John's first epistle. All right, what's your favorite love song? See, this don't work. What's your favorite love song? Love Story. Isn't that about Al Gore? Anyway, come on. You don't know any songs about love? Yes, Dan. Pardon? Okay. Who sung that?
No.
Sure. All right. One that the rest of us would know. Come on, folks, you gotta know some songs about love. Love Potion number 9? Okay, yes, Love Potion number 9. That works. I hate to quote the Beatles, you know, all we need is love. Come on, give me a couple more, folks. Let's cherish. All right. Oh, come on, Dean Martin, Amore. I've always worried about that song, Amore. Something about the moon hitting you like a big pizza pie in the face. I've been in love. I never felt like I got hit with a hot pizza in the face. That would hurt. But I guess Dean Martin, after a couple of cigarettes and a couple of drinks, it made sense to him. 80% of all songs, supposedly, are about love. Good old country songs, when they sing about love, you know, I loved her, she left, my dog ran away, now lives with a cat, my truck broke down on my way to prison or something. Yeah. So many songs about love. But what is it? The Christian idea of love is very different than the world's idea of love. And a couple of questions to think about is, which love have you chosen? Christian love or the love that the world offers? John, when he writes his three epistles, John's very black and white. This is the way it is. You choose darkness or light. You conceal your sins or you confess them. Sin or obedience, tell lies or truth, unrighteousness and forgiveness, death or life, choose the Antichrist or choose Christ himself. John's very black and white. You got two choices and that's it. Now, John wrote these letters near the end of his life, and I kind of think the older we get, the little more defined we are as far as understanding this is right, this is wrong, period. There's not that gray mushy area. But I'll let psychologists worry about that. What I know is John offers two choices. God gives us free will to choose. The thing is, though, we can't choose a little bit from each one of the lists. Like, you know, lies and truth. I'll tell the truth until the police officer asks me, did you see that that light turned red? Or I'll tell the truth until my wife says, do I look fat in this dress? Seriously, guys, don't you hate that one? Oh, that almost ranks, guys, that almost ranks up right with this one. When your wife says, when a girl walks by, do you wish I looked like that? Don't answer. Just lay a big one on her, kiss her, and hope she forgets. All right, so you can't pick a lie and the truth and blend them when you need them to blend. It's one side or the other. John is very much in his epistles. It's an all or nothing proposition. If you're going to choose the darkness, you take everything that comes with it. John talks about love in this first section here from 1 John chapter 3. Have all of you heard of this pay it forward thing? Where, like in China, I guess this went for 19,000 straight people at a Starbucks. I didn't even know they had Starbucks in China. But that's where I order my coffee and the person behind me pays for it. Person in front pays for it. Sure. Yeah, pay it forward. Yes, okay. So I buy a coffee, but the person in front of me pays for it. All right, and the idea is then I pay for the person then behind me. Well, in China, this went for 19,000 straight people. Good old Americans, we only want 750. And it all ended with one man. His name was Peter Schorsch. Schorsch. Doesn't that sound like your garbage disposal? Sure, 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 sure. Anyway, the guy really was a garbage disposal. What he did is he drove to the Starbucks down in Florida that was doing this pay it forward thing, and he then posted online. He says, I absolutely refuse to do such a thing as this. He says, it's not pay it forward because you are a good person. You pay it because you feel guilty for breaking the chain. So he says, I'm breaking it, so you stupid people all stay home. This guy is not a happy camper, okay? But when you have a name like Shorsh, see, he didn't understand that random acts of kindness are just as commendable. And 1 John 3 talks about acts of service. You know, people demonstrate love in a lot of ways. It can be with words, it can be with touch, it can be with gifts. It's just sometimes the little things. 1 John 3 talks about demonstrating love with acts of kindness. And I mentioned John writes three letters to the church. And in the first one, the dominant idea is light. Letters written, are you going to know who the light is? Will you know the light? If you know the light, will you walk in the light? And in order to walk in the light, you have to show love to other people. But do we actually show real love? Well, the command is because Christ loved us, we should also love one another. And love is a verb, by the way, not a feeling. It is not a feeling. Love is a verb. It describes an action. Romans 5:8, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ, throughout his earthly ministry, held up the idea that we needed to be servants to one another. And I love this. Jesus is explaining that we must be servants of everyone. And what do the disciples turn around and do? I'm the greatest. No, I am the greatest. So what? He's talking about servant being a servant, and they're going, nope, I'm going to be number one when he establishes his kingdom. Jesus' life was about serving. And probably the best picture we have of that Jesus as the servant is when he washes the disciples' feet on Maundy Thursday. This is a world without air conditioning and 100-degree heat. Ugh. See, I don't do well in that kind of weather. That's why I think God put me in this century. I used to think that I would have been better suited for back in the colonial revolution era, you know, storming British barricades. That's the Scots-Irish blood in me. But I think God put me in this time frame because he knows that I can't live without air conditioning. I am the only guy that year-round, including when there's snow on the ground, when I'm in the car alone, my air conditioner's on. Oh, yeah. Susan hates it when she gets in that car and she turns it on in the dead of winter and the air conditioner hits her. Woof. I love it. But anyway, so this is a time period without air conditioning. So you got 100-degree heat and you're walking through the streets where the donkeys have left little presents for you to step in. All right? There's no sanitation department, no public works to clean this stuff up, and garbage got left in the street. So you are wearing sandals. So guess what you have between your toes? Yuck. I don't do well with that kind of smelly stuff. Pretty gross. Feet were gross. The first thing you did when you came home from whatever you were doing in the course of your day, at this time period, you came home, you took off your stinky sandals, and you washed your feet. You know, parent moms today, did you wash your hands before dinner? See, back then, did you wash your feet? Remember, they used to recline at a table, so you do not want somebody with stinky feet that can corrode metal. All right? When you went to another person's house, usually a child or a servant would then wash your feet. Your own peers, your own equals, would never wash your feet because that was beneath them. So the whole idea of Jesus, the rabbi, as they saw him, which rabbi just means teacher, would never wash the feet of his students, because that's beneath him in the role of rabbi. But what does Jesus do anyway? He washes the feet of the disciple. Billy Graham also said, the greatest act of humility in the history of the universe was when Jesus Christ stooped to die on the cross at Calvary. Again, where he showed being a servant, paying for our sins, not his. And when we love one another, we imitate him. Our acts of love demonstrate our faith. And a lot of times it's just seen in the small things, the mundane things. If you think about it in your own house, how do you show love to your spouse or to your children? It's in the little things. You know, it took me a while to realize that growing up, dirty laundry didn't suddenly magically appear clean and back in my drawers. Because every Friday, my drawers and closet were filled with clean clothes. Now, is that an act of love? You better believe it. You know, it's the little things. Picking up, taking out the trash. Picking up that glass. Not that I ever leave a coffee cup in strange places in the house. Bring in the mail. How about picking up those stinky socks? See, those are the little mundane things and ways that we show love to people. But love's more than just picking up the stinky socks. Love is when we love somebody, in other words, do what's best for them, even when they don't deserve it. That's when real love hits, is when we love somebody when they don't deserve it. Our example is Christ. He died for us while we were still sinners. He didn't say we had to be good, nice people, and then he would die for us. No, he looked at us in our corrupted lives and said, I'm going to die for you. Love's doing what is best for the other person. Now, in contrast, the world's idea of love, what do I get out of it? Love, oh, that's when I just feel happy. It's butterflies inside when I'm near that person. No, that's a gas bubble. Or the world defines love. Love is when the other person, notice how that direction, love is when the other person makes me feel complete. Feel like I'm in a Jennifer Aniston movie. Oh, man, you're going to put that on the church website. All right. Anyway, see, John's describing a different type of love. And why this fits into the Easter season is this. Jesus, in the upper room, gave that command to the disciples that they should love one another. And ultimately, if you think about it, that is what the whole mission of the church is. The work that we're called to do. Yeah, sometimes it's just the mundane things that we do for others. But the most important thing that we can love somebody is when somebody doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, is to give them the gift of eternal life. I shouldn't say give, share with them the gift of eternal life. And sometimes it is taking care of the needs of people. The church used to do that a lot more, I think, in the past than now. And there was a great book called New Deal or Raw Deal. And I don't know if you knew, but churches and charities took care of the poor during the Great Depression, during the worst parts of the Great Depression. When the economy started to get better about 1935, FDR stepped in with the government programs and took it out of the hands of the church. But think about that. In the worst part of the Depression, the churches and the charities were taking care of the needs of people. Good old FDR in his speech, the Second Bill of Rights, said that the government must replace the church as the one who fulfills all of our needs. How sad. Anyway, the church is called to take care of one another. We take care of those first within our group, and then we reach out to those outside. And all we're doing when we show love to one another and to people in the community that we live in, we're only imitating the example that Christ gave us. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.